By time, I slam on the gas when he retrieves what's needed from his back seat and shuts the door. Before he can take a single step toward the auditorium, I pin him between the Buick's passenger door and his driver's door. His eyes widen when he sees the silencer attached to the Glock I have trained between his eyes. "Good morning," I utter low, tugging my hoodie with my free hand to unveil the offering sitting in my passenger seat. He's dressed in his uniform, his security lanyard hanging around his neck. Unzipping the duffel with my gloved hand, I open it to reveal my offering. "Take it in trade," I order, keeping his gaze and recognizing the void inside it. It's like staring into a bottomless pit. I commit his expression to memory because I might have lied when I answered Sean. There might not be any coming back from this, in one sense or another. Time will tell. "Think of it as a gift with my blessing," I prompt him. His eyes dart to the stadium before flitting back to me. "The trade isn't optional." I stretch my gun toward him, my intent clear. "Who are you?" he asks, his timbre humanizing him. He could be any one of my brothers, but he's not. I rattle off his handle and understanding crosses his expression. He thinks I'm the one who's been with him nightly in the chat room. A nauseating grin spreads over the fly's face as he accepts my offering, collecting the duffel bag and leaving his loaded backpack in my passenger seat. Duffel strapped on his shoulder, when he clears the window, I fire three times in quick succession and slam on the gas. His lifeless body collapses onto the street in my rearview, confirming that no amount of glue will piece his diseased head back together. Waves of anxiety roll from me as I take all the alleys to get back to the main road, keeping a law-abiding pedestrian's speed even after I hit the highway. "Dom!" Sean snaps my name again to jar me into talking as he has since I pulled up. The noise roaring in my head keeps me mute as I watch the fire rage inside the Buick. The plastic steering wheel melts like puddling clay as I toss in the ball cap, fueling the flames while stripping down. Tossing in my t-shirt, Nikes, jeans, and boxers into the mix, I grab the running hose as the morning sun beats down on the two of us. Mere feet away, Sean chain-smokes, his anxiety building as I rinse myself with the bar of soap before using a cuticle brush, scrubbing to ensure there's no residual spray on me before I towel off. Reaching into my packed duffel, I pull my boxers on as I glance around the junkyard. Denny observes the fire, extinguisher in hand, the only bird here aside from the two of us. He hasn't so much as looked our way, wordlessly keeping his distance while diligently ensuring the Buick I arrived in never existed. After fastening my jeans, I toss the towel into the mix along with the duffel itself and dip my chin to Denny. A few more silent minutes tick by before Denny fires off the extinguisher, dousing the flames as Sean and I step back. It's times like this that I'm thankful I bought the junkyard with my money rather than expensive clothes, an acquisition that, to outsiders, makes perfect sense in conjunction with owning an auto shop. I credit the inkling that I had to move in on this property for needs like this. Once Sean's taken the hint that conversation isn't happening, we both watch on as Denny mounts the forklift and, seconds later, drives twin prongs through the body of the smoking Buick. It's when Tyler's engine sounds before his C-20 flies into view that I ready myself, the truck skidding to a halt feet away.
"I didn't say a fucking word, Dom," he assures me, his eyes volleying between Tyler's truck and me.
"I know," I clip out. Sean's still on my side for the moment, my most trusted, my brother by choice, and my best friend for the same reason. That truth resounds deep as he rattles next to me in fear. His concern, even after I've done my worst, eliminates some of the space between us.
"The fuck did you do, Dom?"
"You're about to find out," I relay, getting a good look at him for the first time since I got here, the haze starting to disperse before I issue my warning. "Don't step in for me."
"What?"
Sean's brows draw together a second before Tyler flies out of the cab of his truck and charges me, his right hook landing squarely, making my teeth rattle. Unable to withstand the force of it, I stumble back but lift my chin, readying myself for more.
We've been at the junkyard for a little over 2 hours, which means the news has already broken with enough details to have Tyler drawing the right conclusions and steering him to my whereabouts. Still clueless as to what just went down, Sean ignores my order and steps between us, trying to get Tyler under control. Truth is, if Tyler wanted to have another crack at me, he'd have already put Sean down and delivered it tenfold. Tyler has yet to show anyone in the club what he's truly capable of, something I admire about him, even as my mouth stings like a bitch. "What the fuck?" he roars, attempting to push past Sean, who divides us now after ignoring my request. "Let him through, Sean." Sean sighs and reluctantly lets Tyler by. "You fucking know why," I relay, trying to keep my tone level. "We had a goddamn plan," he rages, and I can tell he's doing everything he can to keep from striking me. "You made a plan that includes utilizing a broken system to do our job. That's not who we are. We don't make citizens' fucking arrests, Tyler. Maybe you spent one too many years following rules. So instead of raising those points, you go and fuck it all up?" He fires, his head swiveling towards Sean. "Don't look at him," I bark, drawing the heat away from Sean. "I acted alone by baiting one of the hooks you were planning on casting a little early in a way that can't be ignored. But this can still play out to plan." I step forward, meeting his accusing eyes. "I just sped the process up a little." "What the fuck is happening right now?" Sean demands between us. Tyler shakes his head, his livid stare fixed on me as he speaks. "What's happening is our unhinged brother went rogue, endangering his fucking life and future while simultaneously trying to take care of our crate problem." "I altered it," I insist in a shit excuse. "Kicked it into motion early out of necessity because my fucking hands were tied."
"Yeah, and where are our hands now?"
He snaps before opening his truck door as the Buick is crushed to dust behind him. Reaching into the cab, I know exactly what his plan is, and a second later, the news fills the yard.
"Gunman found dead outside the North Carolina stadium has been identified as 20-year-old Joshua Brown. Authorities have issued a statewide search for a suspected second gunman who investigators think might have had a last-minute change of heart. Fireworks shows have been canceled across the following counties: Gaston, Iredell, Lincoln, and Mecklenburg. Please be advised, a second suspected gunman remains at large and should be considered armed and extremely dangerous."
Sean's eyes fly to mine. "Jesus Christ, Dom." "Don't look at me like I had a choice," I snap at both of them. They stare at me like I'm a different person than the one who rode bikes with them well after the streetlights came on, snapped cards in our rooms until the late hours, and explored every inch of the surrounding woods while sharing stories of the first time we got our dicks wet. Maybe I'm not the kid they grew up with anymore. Maybe I haven't been in a long time. Maybe the look in their collective eyes is justified, and I focus on Tyler as I relay as much. "Neither of you wanted to see that I'm as capable as you are," I say, knowing he's well aware the other I'm referring to isn't Sean. "You can relay that to France when you update him to earn your brownie points." Tyler's eyes flare in final warning, and I take it for what it is, along with the struggle inside him, knowing he's now crystal clear on the nature of mine. While they might still be straddling the line from the reality that exists and the world we have plans to change, in my mind, I've been living full time on the other side. "We can't stand idly by, not when it comes to stakes this high," I declare. "You can look at me all you want like that, but you would have done the same thing because all three of us know when we wait for someone to do something, no one ever fucking shows up." Tyler full on rushes me, gripping my t-shirt in both hands. Nose to nose, he stares me down, and I don't waver. "We're the someones, Tyler. That's who we decided to be." He searches for the cracks in my psyche, but I haven't felt them yet. Right now, I feel nothing. And it must show because he steps back, seeming satisfied, before releasing me and hanging his head. "God damn it, Dom." "You're wasting time already," I remind him. "Those plans have to change." "They don't," I tell him as he looks up at me, staring through me, his mind racing with a dozen scenarios, tailoring each to further cover my tracks. "Cameras?" Tyler prompts. "Blacked out everything within blocks. No pedestrians on the street, I didn't speed, I don't think anyone made the car, and I didn't get out. I nod toward the dusted Buick. We've owned it for years due to a mechanic's lien. He gapes at me. How long have you been planning this?
A while, since the fly vibrated on my web.
Fuck!
Tyler slams his fist on his truck, glaring at me, his request for Sean.
Get everyone to the garage. We're going on a field trip. I'll meet you there in 15 minutes.
I move to get into Sean's Nova, and Tyler shakes his head.
Not you. Go to Denny's and fucking stay there until I text you home.
He looks over to Sean.
He's grounded.
Tyler snaps his gaze back to me, and I don't bother to object. He's the only one who can veto me, and there's no fucking way around it.
This is what it is, or I bring France home. Don't fucking test me on this, Dom.
Exhausted, I give him a sharp dip of my chin as he climbs into his truck and speeds off. Sean sparks up a cigarette, and I give him the words I know he needs.
I'm okay.
Denny pulls up, and I round the car as Sean remains idle, studying me intently for the same cracks Tyler sought. Opening Denny's passenger door, I jerk my chin.
Go. I'm all right, brother.
Seconds later, Sean's speeding off in his Nova. Denny remains wordless as I stare through the trees, blurring out of his passenger window. On that drive, I realize I finally reached the place I've been searching for. A state not quite as blissful as the peaceful place I've come to rely on, but strong enough to recognize.
Numb.
I've bore witness to two prime examples that there are good men left in the world. Loyal men. Faithful men. Though thieves they may be, because they've stolen my heart. Cecilia. Flock.
35. 2 days later, I stare up at my ceiling in the same position I've been in since Denny dropped me off hours ago. Boots crossed, back on my mattress, palms on my stomach. The heavy repeat of his Nova jars me from the back doors of my mind, and not a minute later, Sean's silhouette appears at my door, partially lit by the streetlights. He stands and waits. None of his typical little spoon quips coming while the aftermath of the last 48 hours emanates from him.
You've been busy, I say, knowing Tyler proceeded with our plans, along with improvisations, in an effort to sweep up after me.
While I was on lockdown at Denny's, Layla paced next to me as reports flooded their TV screen of the statewide manhunt for the second suspected gunman, me, who's still at large. Hours after I fled, Tyler utilized the birds he trusted to divide and conquer. They made good use of the guns we lifted from the warehouse in a free-for-all of victimless gunfire, shooting up abandoned buildings and closed businesses. Starting in Charlotte, they webbed out in all directions, from the edge of the Tennessee border all the way to Nag's Head Beach, leading those investigating on a wild goose chase. Sean palms my doorframe.
Stroke of genius to put those prints on some of the bullets.
We'd already devised the plan to put partial and full prints that we extracted from Spencer and the dirty military on his payroll on some of the shell casings so the guns would be traced back to them. The tactic is meant to keep all government alphabet agencies and military investigators as far as possible from our county line while searching for the guns now in our possession. After the evidence was not so subtly planted, Tyler flagged one of our feather feds as to which locations to look for those prints to get them all investigated and possibly indicted. Convicted is another story. In that, I have zero faith.
They'll get off, I state, towing my boots off before nudging them off my bed.
Worth trying, right?
Where is he? My question regarding Tyler's whereabouts and the status of the grudge he may still be harboring against me.
Not coming back tonight, Sean relays, but he has his ringer on.
For me. I don't ask about Cecilia, but I can sense what's coming as he takes a seat at the edge of my bed.
She's wondering where you are.
Let her, I snap in warning, looking over to him as he casts his gaze my way and swallows.
You know, she asked me not too long ago who my hero was. Don't, I warn, throat burning. That answer changed 2 days ago, he relays without hesitation.
I killed a 20-year-old kid. The confession feels ripped from me as I say it out loud for the first time.
You stopped an imminent mass murder, he insists, tone unwavering. Denny unloaded his backpack and it was fucking horrifying. He was going to open fire on families watching fireworks. There's no telling how many lives you saved. Your hands were tied. Tyler knows that. We all do. I know you couldn't or wouldn't have done it if you thought there was any other way, and you didn't take him down until you were sure.
Quiet seconds pass as the burn circulating through my chest keeps me silent.
Please don't torture yourself, he says on a long exhale. I can guarantee that you need something or someone right about now, and maybe you can't put your finger on it. Or maybe you can.
She doesn't need to be anywhere near us, Sean. It's only going to get more fucking dangerous for all of us.
I tried, he cups the back of his neck. That night, I tried to break it off with her, and I failed. I couldn't do it, but I heard you. He hangs his head. I heard you, Dom, and I'll respect whatever decision you make, but please know I'm sorry. Truly, for everything.
He runs a hand through his matted hair, no doubt due to the ski mask he's been wearing for days to help cover my tracks.
I'll never bring this secret up again, but I wish you could have trusted me.
I did. I do.
Only when I forced your hand, he stands and looks over at me, eyes glazing. I might have lost your trust. But I would hand you my firstborn, Dom, no questions asked. From here on out, I'm done asking about shit you don't want to answer, but I hope you don't have to make me because I want that trust back if you'll give it to me. And heads up, from now until France comes home, I'm not going to let you out of my goddamn sight.
It's no big surprise my sentence has been lengthened, no doubt one Sean and Tyler came to while en route to plant red herrings.
Truth is, I want this time with you because I miss you, man.
I don't have to see his tears to know they're there.
And you know I'm not above playing fucking dirty to get it, so don't make me.
I won't. My reply has him pausing for any sort of dishonesty.
But just so you know, he says, contempt for Tobias clear in his voice. Or need a reminder? You're a living, breathing, fucking human being and allowed to behave as one.
I don't bother to tell him I was granted that clarity by the one person in the world I shouldn't have gotten it from.
And you might think I'm ignorant to it, but the night of the meetup,
his Adam's apple bobs.
If he had reached me, if you hadn't stopped him, I wouldn't be standing here. I will never sell you out to France. He doesn't have to know. You don't have to cop to it. I didn't mean it.
My whisper is just as guttural, and he exhales harshly in relief, fingers twitching at his side. He wants a cigarette, but I already know what's coming before he puts a voice to it.
I'm in love with her.
I know.
So, if you're going to break her heart, you're going to have to do it alone.
His voice is raw when he speaks again.
I'm just so fucking sorry I messed us up in the process.
He stares down at his boots, running his forearm along his jaw.
I love you, brother.
He leaves the door open as my vision blurs, and I move to sit at the edge of my bed, staring after him before catching my half-lit reflection in my bathroom mirror. Part human, part monster, and stuck in limbo for the foreseeable future. I've always labeled the other side monsters because at least then I could justify slaying them. The truth is, those monsters are human beings capable of doing unspeakable acts outside of moral lines where I dwell to stop them. But pulling the trigger was different for me this time, and we all know it. Tyler knows it, Sean knows it, and even though I knew that kid's future was only cut short by an hour at most, that he would die by his own hand or someone else's, I was the one who saw him draw his last breath because I made it so. For now, I have to let it go. The list, the need to fix what's broken because it's breaking me. I have to accept what I'm capable of what I'm not. My limits have been repeatedly shown to me as of late, and I feel that defeat start to settle low in my gut. Opening my laptop, I press my palm to the keyboard and it lights up in a fiery red welcome before I start to file it all away, temporarily laying it to rest. For a time when I can do something about it. It feels like nothing short of bloodletting as I allow it all in. All of my failures in the last few months and the guilt that multiplies daily because I can't get them all, no matter how much I want to. Maybe this is how my brother felt, waiting all those years for us to catch up to where he was. If he did it, so can I, because whether I've outgrown them or not, this is my family, and the men surrounding me are the only men I trust to help me see this through. Until the time comes when we're aligned on the same path, ready to pull the trigger, it can't happen. Purging as failure runs down my face. I drown in it, allowing the emotions to take over while I mourn for the path I can't travel until I'm freed. I make peace with it because I don't want my eyes to ever match the void I saw in the eyes that are starting to haunt me.
Dom, when you feel this way, you can come to me.
But I can't anymore. That's the hardest part to swallow. Exhaling due to the sting that truth brings, I plug in my earbuds and scroll through my playlist for a beat before tuning into the mics planted in Cecilia's bedroom. Lengthy seconds of silence ensue as I lay back in bed, her room just as quiet as mine. Just as I go to switch it off, I catch a faint drum in the distance. Thunder. The light pattering of rain follows, the clarity of the sound telling me she left her French doors open tonight. Turning my volume all the way up, I settle in for the restless hours ahead, but manage to drift away just as her storm catches up to my roof. Shrouded in the dark, I search the wall for a way in as cries sound from the other side. Pushing against it, the screams grow louder, as if I'm hurting them by trying to break through. But that's not the truth of it. That rings clear as echoes of pain and torment fill my ears, elevating my panic. Exhausted, I continue to try to force my way through, to make it stop. Terror filters in when one by one, the screams start to cut off abruptly. A spark of fire flashes in the distance, and I turn to look for the source, seeing Sean's profile before he clicks his Zippo closed. My shout for help is absorbed by the pitch dark, my fists useless as I pound on the wall, exertion futile as they bounce off the impenetrable stone. The more their cries die, the harder I hit and fail. Gritting my teeth when the last wail is stifled, I sag against it, knowing I'm too late. Lingering silence sucks every ounce of hope from me while midnight shadows start to weigh me down, paralyzing me slowly in their grip. Sinking against the wall, I land in a puddle, palms splashing before sinking to the ground beneath. Lifting my hands, I run what's covering them between my thumb, my roar swallowed by the blackness as my mother's voice reaches me.
It's only a storm. Storming. I hope that's okay.
My eyes pop open from where I lay on my stomach facing my bathroom. Cecilia lays on top of me, just out of my line of sight, her weight covering me like a security blanket, her tender whisper in my ear.
I came in from my shift and you were already out. I'm sorry I woke you.
The sound of rain patters outside as I try to get my bearings, her whisper pulling me back toward her as the shadows disperse.
Were you dreaming? Your arms were jerking a little.
Coming to fully, I realize I've got the forearm she has wrapped around me in a tight grip and release it. I move to get up, and she presses against me, pinning me to the mattress.
No, stay in bed.
She orders, running her fingers through the damp hair at the back of my neck. I fucking hurt you. My voice sounds like sandpaper and exertion.
you didn't. Not at all.
Her tone fills with concern.
You okay?
I'm good. Even as I lie, I take long drags of air until the pulse pounding in my ears starts to even out.
Better. Was it a nightmare?
I don't remember. More like my definition of hell.
Consider yourself lucky. Just sleep, okay?
Feeling raw and more exposed than I can ever remember, all I can do is nod against my pillow. Hearing the rustling as she sheds her uniform, I lie in wait, eyes closed as the thin veil of sweat produced by my dream cools on my skin. That was most definitely my subconscious's warning of too much to process, the dream far too easy to pick apart. I'm still somewhat between worlds when the bed dips a second before her bare thigh slides over my lower back, her arm snaking around me before the soft skin of her breast is pressed against my bicep. My body becomes lax as her scent, her skin, and her soothing touch lull me along with another gentle whisper.
You're so warm. Always so warm. I missed you.
She's come for me again, constantly showing up for me without motive because she's worth my time, effort, and attention. Something I've known far longer than I've let on. The urge to lose myself in her begins to hum, but I don't move, too weak, drained from my dream while knowing the illusion I'm feeding into with her is about to come to an end. My throat constricts at the comfort she brings and the fact that this is the last time I can lose myself in it. But I do lose myself one last time, as her nails gently rake up and down my spine, pulling me into a blissfully deep, dreamless sleep. Waking a few hours later, dream forgotten, my room lit in a deep shade of purple, I rouse her with the soft press of my lips. A slow smile appears before her eyes do. Slipping between her legs, condom already secure, I take her mouth, the need to drive inside her, taking over. Cupping the back of her head to cradle it, I don't break our kiss as I part her thighs and ready her, swallowing her noises and soaking every bit of her in as I slowly press into her. Palming her thigh up with one hand, cradling her head with the other, I fuck her nice and slow, to the point I'm barely moving inside her. Even without friction, we're deeply fed by connection. What was meant to be a thank you turns into something else entirely as she washes away all remnants of what haunted me. Rain ticks against the window as I tip over, losing myself in rapture for the last time. It's only when I'm forced to come up for air that I lift to hover, keeping my hand beneath her head, her thigh firmly at my waist. She stares back at me, caressing my bicep. Wordlessly, I roll my hips, chest detonating with tiny explosions as she gasps my name.
Tom.
It's the first time I've ever wanted to rip my condom off and fuck a woman bare. Even though I keep it on, I know I'm as close as I'm ever going to get.
I know I'm in love with him. I just don't know how much of him I know. Cecilia. Flock.
36. Feeling the shift in temperature sweep through the garage, I tighten the last bolt on the piece of shit Subaru I've been pumping life into for the past 6 hours. Rolling my neck to ease the tension, I glance past the hood to see splattering rain collecting on the grease-stained cement inside my open bay. Ignoring the increasing thud in my chest, I inhale the stench of Mrs. Weller's dachshunds, who all have embroidered names in their designated car seats, and turn the ignition, satisfied when it starts with ease. Pulling the key, I close and lock the bay door before heading into the lobby to finalize the ticket. Rain pounds the roof as the steady thud inside increases, a reminder I ignore as I pull my phone from the safe to see a missed text, hours old, from Sean. S. She's here. Fuck.
The sky cracks above, rattling the ground beneath my booted feet, reverberating throughout the garage and grounds as I pull the door to and lock it, pausing when my eyes land on the name etched into the glass, the sight of it only adding to the guilt festering in my gut. As it turns out, Tobias is searching for his phantom birth father, Abijah. The raven following him confirmed it within 24 hours after landing in Paris, which makes the only deceptive brother in this equation me. Deep down, I knew that. Maybe I wanted his guilt to make me feel better, a crime I accused Sean of, which now makes me a hypocrite. Behind the wheel of my Camaro, I scan the interior, and in the next second, I'm not alone. I can picture Cecilia so clearly next to me, her long legs taking up the floorboard, her tight body tucked into the seat, and dark, fire-kissed hair floating on the breeze. Cranking my car to warm it up, Tennessee starts to blare through my speakers. Turning up the volume, I scoff at the lyrics as I wait, gaze drifting back to the window, specifically to the name. Shooting out of the parking lot, song ringing in the cabin, irony strikes that my predicament is almost fucking prophetic at this point. A part I accused Sean of playing as the quilled pen swivels back in my direction, mocking me. I'm no Romeo. But everything about this shit show has to do with our last names, our parents, a vendetta, and the reason why we're destined to implode. So, what's in a name? Everything. Everything's in a name. A name I take pride in because my brother made it that way. He made us future rulers from a pile of discarded fucking rubble, and every time I get drunk on blue flames, I ruin a part of what he gifted me. Speeding down the main road, I accelerate as my mind wars with my chest. At 26, I see things so differently now than I did when I demanded so much of him, throwing tantrums in my early teens, insisting he be more present when he was killing himself and risking his life to provide for me, and not just the necessities. He struggled for years to give me a life neither of us could have imagined after starving for so many, both together and apart. The feeling growing up in that house, especially during those years without him, was exactly like Cecilia described. Desperation vibrated from those walls. The atmosphere was so bleak that at times I thought I would just evaporate. My brother did his best to shield me from it, and to this day remains my protector. He towed the line between parent and brother well, as he does everything else. Everything except women. I'm almost positive he'll never care about their place in my life, or his. So now, in his eyes, I've taken part in the only unforgivable sin, because what Roman Horner did is unforgivable. Fucking his daughter and ruining her should have been a given and would have done some collateral damage if Roman bothered to care enough about her ruin. As it is, she's an orphan, like me. I'm incapable of going that far, even if my blood can run cold. For the most part, it still runs warm, and Cecilia keeps reminding me of that. But I am doing a cold thing. Just because I'm not deceiving her with malicious intent doesn't mean I'm not hurting her or won't. She's done exactly shit to deserve it, too. For me, she's accurately what Tobias predicted a woman would be. A sanctuary. I can practically hear the sarcastic "I told you so" dripping in French as I spin out on the first turn. This call close enough to have my adrenaline spiking and sweat dotting my brow. "Nah, Sean. This is me spinning out." I spit, gassing the Camaro, taking another curve, the car catching on the rising water before I shoot forward. In an instant, my brother's voice cuts through my thoughts with a warning to calm the fuck down. Something I haven't been able to do successfully for long since my anger gained a sort of razor's edge with his continued absence over the years. Anger no soul on this earth has been able to fully curtail, not even Sean. Cecilia's been fruitless at times, too, walking on eggshells, and even for her I haven't always succeeded. For her, I wanted to. I really wanted to. But I have to keep that anger and edge. With what we're up against, she can't soften that for me. She's stolen too much already. At this point, I resent her as much as I want her, and right now, that's a fucking lot. Taking another curve, I hydroplane, only able to correct the wheel just in time to avoid certain fucking death.
I used to question why I don't fear for my own safety. At first, I thought it was because I believed I was trash, or at the very least, the charity case I saw in the eyes of those who witnessed our neglect growing up. Now I know I'm not, but I'm determined to take out the true wastes of life, the scum of the earth, the real threats, and there's a cost to being that type of garbage man. A cost I know will come sooner than later. Just as that notion strikes me, the familiar urgency sets in. We're wasting time. I could fucking end this right now, right fucking now, with a bullet. I can't blame Cecilia and I can't blame my brother, but I can blame Roman. I can blame Roman for being the barrier between the life I could be living, unshackled, untethered, and freely raining down punishment. A life I want more than any other. I click my signal at the stoplight while eyeing my glove box. My ignorance is no longer bliss, but blistering me, hindering me from the progression just as much as her father. One point-blank shot to that arrogant prick's skull will put my brother's drawn-out mission to rest and grant me the freedom I need. Even if I could kill him without remorse, I could never look at her, let alone touch her again with his blood on my hands. A simple solution to an overly complicated problem. Banging my head against the back of my rest, I shake my head in dismissal. Because of both Tobias and Cecilia, that bullet can't fly. Trapped by the stoplight, I glimpse Maman through the haze clouding the windshield, dancing and waving her hand in encouragement to join her before sweeping me into her hold and swaying with me all over the kitchen floor. A blink later, Cecilia takes her place, hand outstretched for me to dance with her where I sit beneath my windowsill as she sways in a cloud of smoke emitted by my exhale. What I've allowed to happen between us is an illusion, one I bought into, that, as of late, I started feeding. Tobias surpassed it all, bulldozed past Delphine, our fucked situation, all of it, while managing to stick to the game plan without entanglements holding him down. Yet, I can't make it past the daughter of the man I hate with every fiber of my being. For my brother, I will, or else I'll ruin everything we've collectively overcome to get to where we are. I have to let her go. Decision made, I speed toward the end of the secret I can no longer participate in and park on a dime when I reach the house. It ends now. Stalking through the front door and up the stairs, I'm stopped at the door by the sight of her lying face up at the end of my bed, wearing nothing but one of my black t-shirts and tiny boy shorts. Hair spilling over the side of the mattress, knees drawn, a book hoisted at eye level. She spots me, turning on her stomach, her smile lighting up the room as her soul-filled eyes meet mine.
There's my motherfucker.
Fuck. 37.
Hi.
She says, eyes rolling down my frame before she bounds toward me where I stand, dripping at the door.
You're soaked.
She lifts, pressing a chaste kiss to my lips.
What took you so long?
Business, I lie, taking a step in as she blocks me playfully, matching my footing.
What business?
I lift a brow and her brow quirks before she rolls her eyes.
Fine. Whatever.
Whatever means you're not an accessory after the fact. Secrets keep you safe.
Secrets keep me insane.
She shivers at the chill from the rain droplets spilling onto her while clasping her hands around my neck.
I missed you. I've been missing you. Where have you been?
Busy. Gripping her hands, I release her hold as my stunted heart thunders back in a determined rhythm while her expression draws in confusion. Destruction has been my sole focus for so long that I don't know how to slow my desire for chaos enough to fully give her the few peaceful parts of me I have left. I've educated myself to the point that it's maddening. I know too much to ever know peace like other people do. Where Sean sees a glass half full, I can only imagine shattering it. I'm too enraged, too fucking frustrated with all that's wrong, all that needs to be fixed, all that I want to fix. To change that for anyone, let alone a 19-year-old girl. End this, King. Frowning, she runs her finger along my drawn brows.
There's too much going on in there. You were just with me. What happened?
I shake my head and try to move past her again, and she refuses to let me pass.
No, talk to me. What's wrong?
You know I fucking can't.
You're the worst conversationalist in the history of ever.
Talk feelings with your girlfriends, Cecilia. I'm not one of them. I remind her, as I often do. Guilt threatens as hurt flits in her eyes, but I bat it away as I walk over to my dresser and grab some boxers. The second I unbuckle my belt, Cecilia plants her elbows on the bed and palms her face, her eyes following my every movement, and I stare back at her, annoyed. You just going to watch me?
Less talking, motherfucker, more stripping. And when you get those boxers down, make sure you walk away nice and slow.
I pause, jeans dangling on my hips. You're making this weird. She grants me an exaggerated eye roll.
Everything's weird for you, right? Because God forbid you let a second of intimacy linger when you're not fucking me. You can kiss me so tenderly as you take down my panties and stroke my face when I'm sucking your dick, but a second outside one of us coming, you clam up as though you're incapable. So?
She turns her finger around.
If I'm stuck with minimally invasive conversation and the fact that you barely take your jewelry off before you fuck me,
she adds as I unclasp my watch,
the least you can do is entertain me.
I'm not here for your fucking entertainment. I slam said jewelry on the dresser.
No? Then stop holding back every time we start getting closer.
If you weren't happy here, I shrug. The guy you need is a bedroom over. She leaps from the bed, expression drawn with contempt.
Frankly, I'm sick of fucking hearing that, Dominic. It's a pathetic excuse. If you ever say that to me again, this is over.
She might as well stab me with the threat. And because of that, it needs to be over. It has to be. I have to work tonight, so I nod toward my bedroom door in dismissal as she stares at me for a few beats before moving to sit on the edge of the bed.
Huh.
She says, staring at her toes.
I'm guessing you'll have to work on the next rainy day, too.
She slowly lifts her eyes, and I stare right back at her as I answer, yeah, I will. Ignoring the tightness in my chest, I walk into the bathroom before snapping the door behind me to make my message clear. A second later, the knob nails me in the ass as she opens it, and I reel on her. What the fuck?
What the fuck is right? That's the second time you've slammed a door in my face in a week, Dominic. I've been waiting for you half the night, missing you every day in between, and this is how you treat me.
Like I said, I point toward Sean's room.
Don't. Because I'm not bluffing. Don't finish that sentence. You don't want this to be over. I know you feel for me. I just don't know why you're fighting it so much. Ugh. I don't know what the hell is going on with you two this week because you're both acting like you're on man periods, so I'm just going to assume there must be something in the fucking water that needs to run its course.
I remain mute as she inhales a deep breath of patience.
Just take a shower and I'll order us some food, okay?
We stare off for several seconds and I slowly nod. God damn it, King. She walks over to me and lifts, pressing her lips to mine as she slowly tugs my boxers down. My cock points directly to her as she searches my eyes, gripping my hand and rubbing off a grease stain from the meat of my palm.
Business, huh?
Making it clear she's on to me, she searches me for a reason for the distance, and I give her nothing.
I'm fine with whatever you're capable of giving me, Dom. But I don't think capability is your issue. You won't. Or...
She rakes her lower lip with her teeth as I fucking rattle inside with the need to touch her.
Or maybe you don't want to. Or can't take me seriously because... Because I'm with Sean, too. If that's the case, then I guess that's the way you feel. But when we're together, I only see you.
Pressing a kiss to my chest, she drags her nails along my dick. And it's all I can do to keep from fucking her. What the fuck are you doing, Dom? End it. Cecilia, I rasp out, the cadence in my voice taking me aback as the low-lying burn in my chest ignites at the thought of what future rainy days would look like without her. Cutting words linger on the tip of my tongue, and sensing them coming, she gives me a firm shake of her head, refusing them from me for the first time.
Pizza? I know what you like.
She releases me, and I grip her wrist and tug her back to me. Her navy blues volley and glisten, her voice a plea.
Dom, if we could stop this, we would have already. You think I don't feel guilty? You think I wanted to feel for you? You're holding back with me. But I can tell you don't want to, no matter how hard you push back. I can tell. Lie all you want to me, to yourself, but I know better. I know you better.
It's the truth. The totality of it. I'm fucking fooling myself into thinking that there's still a tipping point. I'm already past it, but my brother can't suffer for it. My club can't suffer for it. There's too much at stake. What the hell do you really know? I snap, stepping out of her reach. Let me clue you in. What I allow you to know, which is nothing. I can see the second my venom hits her and ball my fists as the burn starts to singe the whole of my chest.
I know you're guarding yourself with me to the point it's starting to bother you. You want to be with me, and you won't let yourself. Just tell me why, and I know enough.
She says softly, eyes still pleading. Obviously you don't. Do we really need to have this conversation again? I'm not bitter or jaded or fucking broken. I roll my eyes down her frame. I'm just not interested. So let me sum it up for you. I point to my chest. I'm just another busy criminal that fucks you, and you're a convenient fuck. Get your head out of the clouds. There is no us. She closes her eyes and presses her lips together to absorb the sting before they open. It's the smug uplift of her lips, along with the clear, you stupid bastard, in her expression that tells me she didn't believe a word I just fucking said. And we both know it.
Okay, Dom. Okay.
She exhales, resigned, chest pumping along with the slight shake of her head and a call of bullshit before she turns and leaves me there, annoyed, frustrated, naked, hard, breathless, and fucking enamored. 38. Tossing my stress ball from where I lay on my bed, with every catch I begin to tick off the reasons for letting her go as my limbs grow heavy, no doubt due to my long shift at the garage. Toss. Brother. Catch. Club. Toss. Hindrance to progress. Catch. Liability. Toss. Fucking her the first time was fucking up. Catch. Allowing her into my space, my bed, all of it was senseless, pointless, and unnecessary. Thunder rumbles as the storm continues to rage outside and concern spikes that she drove home in this weather. Resisting the urge to ask Sean if he's heard from her or tune into the mics in her room, I slap off my bedroom light and resume my place on my mattress. I gave up my right to know. Facts. Ended it. Point blank. Had to. Watching my bedside clock, a low spike of adrenaline starts to zing through me as the minutes tick closer to midnight. Putting my earbuds in, I press play on one of my go-to lists. When Three Little Birds rings out, I rip them out like they're on fire. Nope. 11:54. The day is almost over. I shrug against my pillow. Swallowing against the increasing tightness beneath my ribcage, I turn on my stomach to get some shut-eye. Facing her pillow, I run my eyes down the vacant space beside me. Normally, she'd be lying there, talking randomly, animatedly, droning on about something while running her fingers along my skin, laughter filling my room when she finally drew the reaction she wanted from me. Even if I'm grounded in the club capacity, I have plenty to do. 1,000 books to read, minimum, bird business to conduct, which means we probably won't run into each other. Then again, we likely will. It's inevitable. I'll have to get Sean to give me the heads up when she's around to make things easier for her. Not that it will be hard for her, since I just ensured she'll hate me. Toss. She's got the plant and Sean. Catch. She's got Sean. Squeeze. Discarding the ball, I move to sit at the edge of the bed, ears perking up for any sign she's with him. Is she with him? That thought begins to gnaw at me as a rare, raw type of jealousy threatens at the idea that he's stealing my fucking time with her. She wouldn't do that. It's not his day. but as of a few hours ago, the time is no longer mine. I did this, made it this way. No choice. Craning my neck toward the wall that separates our rooms, I glare at it. If she is with him. Fuck that noise. Denial is ripped from me completely when a foreign type of possessiveness overtakes me and my heart starts to thrash in confirmation. Jerking on some sweats, I walk over to the wall and cup my ear, straining for any sound. Nothing. Fuck this. Stalking down the hall, I slap open Sean's bedroom door with my palm to see him alone, flipping channels, boots crossed on his bed, a beer in hand. He flashes me his signature smirk. Sup, man? Relief skitters through me as I jerk my chin. His lips quirk further as his eyes drift back to the TV. I'm thinking maybe someone doesn't want to say he's sorry. Fuck you. I turn to leave, and he calls to my retreating back. She's worth a lot more than an apology. I turn on a dime. Yeah, what's she worth to you? He uses my own tactic against me with silence. Stupid question. I glare over at him as he sips his beer. What the fuck are we doing? You know what you're doing, same as me. We're crossing an uncrossable line. His shoulders roll forward with the weight of the admission. But the difference between us is that I've already made peace with it, he states in a tone that contradicts that declaration. It's harder for you, Dom, and no big mystery why. His expression hardens into a look reserved only for those he's about to pull the trigger on. So I'll give you a fucking pass, brother, just this once, for thinking you'll ever be able to rip that woman from my arms, especially if you so recklessly ever push her into them. Oh, it's like that, I ask, tilting my head as if I didn't hear him right. She's my fucking girlfriend, asshole, and she's destroyed right now because of you. She wouldn't let me console her, so what the fuck kind of reception did you expect? He pulls on his beard as if he didn't just threaten me for the first time in our lives, and I let that shit resonate before realizing I'm in his room for the exact same reason. Regardless, the resentment that he did threaten me kicks in just as he speaks up. I love you, brother. More than any other, that's the truth. But it's not me you're fighting. So please don't twist me into the enemy to justify the turmoil going on in that brilliant fucking brain of yours. It's the decision that's killing you softly. So make it, and make your own peace with it, for all our sakes. The warning returns in his eyes. But know this, your decision no longer has any bearing on mine. The time for that has fucking passed. I linger in his doorway for a beat, seeing the toll the decision is taking on him before turning, gut lurching as I recall the damning words I hurt her with. Do I even have a decision to make peace with anymore? The realization that that choice is no longer mine takes hold as the ache I've been dismissing slams into me. By the time I reach my room, I'm on fucking fire with regret. Shedding my sweats, I pull on some jeans as perspiration dots my hairline. Shoving into my boots, wallet tucked in my back pocket, keys in hand, anxiety propels me down the stairs as a nauseating unease sets in. If I have to break into Roman Horner's fucking house to take those words back, I will. Reaching the foot of the stairs, I'm freed of that burden when I see her on the couch, stroking Brandy with absent fingers as she stares up at the ceiling. The sight of her tear-streaked face and blotched cheeks has remorse doing its thing. Fuck this. I open my mouth to speak, and she beats me to it.
I'm going to have a dog of my own one day.
She utters faintly, as if talking to an empty room.
They're so much nicer than people.
She leans down so she's nose to snout with Brandy.
Definitely nicer than criminals who like convenient fucks.
She laughs, but it's lifeless. I've hurt her, knowing her heart, gutted her, and I wouldn't blame her if she wrote me off for good. You don't deserve the decision and never have.
But I guess things would be easier if I were more like you, Brandy. Huh? Silent, obedient, just waiting idly by for someone to order me around and tell me when and where to lick.
She lifts to sit without a glance my way, and it's then I see her resignation.
I was going to leave, but it was raining too hard.
She slides into the flip-flops on the floor in front of her.
Looks like this rainy day is over.
She stands and folds the blanket we've huddled under a handful of times, a blanket she brought from home, deeming it our movie night cover, a blanket we've wrapped up in after doing a lot more than watching movies. That's our shit she's holding for ransom and threatening to take out of this house along with her and away from me. I stand there, like a fucking idiot, mad that I want her, boiling because I can't fucking have her. Not the way I want to. And pulsing to the brim with whatever the fuck is refusing to let me watch her walk out. But I do know. I know exactly what it is. I've been struck fucking stupid by the four-letter curse. I'm so completely fucked. She grabs her purse and stops in front of where I'm standing.
I'll see you around, Da.
Snatching the blanket from her and tossing it on the couch, I ram into her like a linebacker and lift her, catching her harsh exhale as I whisk her up the stairs like a mindless fucking idiot before dumping her on her side of the bed. She bounces on the mattress, eyes wide, lips parted, gaping at me incredulously before her face twists with fury.
It's not raining anymore.
I don't give a fuck, I say, damn near pointing to her side of the bed in instruction.
Well, I do.
You're not a dog.
Thanks. I guess that's a step up from convenient whore.
She rattles with fury where she stands, and it's all I can do to keep from pushing her back down on her side of my bed, where she belongs. Who the fuck am I right now? She glares at me, her hostility visceral.
If I ever gave you the impression that I'm fucking desperate, you got the wrong one, Dominic, because trust me, you are no woman's first choice.
She surprises herself with her venom, and I can practically see the hand she denies cupping over her mouth in horror as her eyes flit with regret. As the pain of that statement singes me, I feel sorry for the bastard that will deserve and eventually claim her for good. She's going to give him hell. In the next second, I fucking hate him because it's not me, and maybe I'll never be worthy of being in the running with the way I've deceived her. You didn't go to him. Why?
To Sean?
She shakes her head.
Because this is our fucking relationship.
She stops herself from saying the word she thinks scares me. That's not the word that scares me. Not anymore. It's another word, a decision-making word that worries me.
Let me clarify this for you. I'm not desperate, but I'm becoming jaded because I'm the girl who really wants to fucking be with you, and you're the busy criminal that's fucking me because I'm convenient.
I didn't mean it.
Maybe you didn't, but because it's so easy for you to demean me that way, I don't want you anymore.
It's another knife to the chest, and fuck me, I deserve it. When she steps toward the door, I block her. I'm sorry. That's not who I am. She snaps her head up, her eyes searching.
I thought I knew that, but you told me differently.
There's truth to that, a whole wealth of shit she's clueless to, and I can't even fault her for that because we're too good at what we do. She's already so tangled in our web that I don't know if she can get out, but all I want to do is sink my fangs in deeper, keep her tangled with me.
What, Dom? What is it that's holding you back? I mean, if it's Sean, I understand. I guess...
I jerk my chin. It's not Sean.
Then what?
That decision-making word. Brother. And it's too fucking late because I want her on her side of my bed no matter the weather. Fuck. Fuck. God damn it. I won't ever mistreat you like that again.
That was too easy for you.
I jerk my chin. No. It fucking wasn't. Her eyes mist, but she lifts her chin defiantly. She's not going to give me any tears. Good. I don't deserve them. The need to bridge this, to make her believe me, to touch her and ease the roiling in my gut intensifies as my palms start to sweat. She couldn't have meant it. With the way I feel, if she's feeling it too, it hurts too fucking much. Why can't I say it? Why can't I just admit that? Because I can't tell her shit without backing it up, and I'm already too far into a corner that won't allow it. Tell me what to say. She jerks her chin.
No.
Tell me what to do.
No. You're a genius who was also blessed with common sense, and you damn sure know how to treat a woman a lot better than this. Shitty temper or not. There's nothing to say. You ended us.
No, I didn't, or you would have already left, I point out, which I note wasn't the best idea, as her nostrils flare.
And you want this, or you would have let me. That was me you were coming after, right?
She spouts smugly. This fucking girl. Fine. I want this. You.
Nope.
Another jerk of her chin. I grip the back of my neck. You want what? A declaration or something?
No. I just wanted you, and you've made it a lot less appealing now.
Fuck me.
I told you that I would take whatever you could give me, and I meant it. So give me something, Dom.
I search myself frantically because I know she means it. French bulldog, I blurt, and she jerks back in confusion.
What?
That's the dog you should get. She crosses her arms.
I'm listening.
They're companion dogs with good temperament. Easygoing, alert, sociable, patient, smart. They're so ugly that they're cute. It's the dog Sean should have gotten, but he got an idiot instead. She bites her top lip to stifle a smile. I won't ever talk to you like that again, Cecilia. I mean it.
Yes, you will. You can't promise that, so don't. Being with you is like being in a constant state between venom bite and cure, but with you, it's just another weekday. And I can handle that as long as you're honest with me, at least about us.
She steps toward me and delivers her next words, point blank.
But I wouldn't suggest ever talking to me like that again.
Did you just threaten me? I can't help my smile.
Yes.
She deadpans. Lifting a hand, I run my thumb along her jaw before brushing the divot in her chin. Her eyes penetrate, and her words soothe the ache.
But you are worth it for me, Dom.
My shoulders relax slightly as I circle her waist, my heart still pounding with the truth. There was never really a fucking decision. There was only giving in to the one I'd already made. I plan to make this apology much better.
Well, you haven't set a high bar for yourself.
That changes the minute you get back on your side of the bed. 39. There's indescribable freedom in falling.
Dom.
Cecilia moans, her perfect lips parting as I pin her wrists with one hand and pull out part way to deny her orgasm, killing her protest with my tongue by thrusting it into her mouth. She sucks it with abandon, spurring me on. When I've pulled back enough to keep her edged, I burrow back in, rolling my hips, rubbing the ridge of my cock against her clit. Her orgasm rolls through her within a few thrusts, her release vibrating on my tongue as she tightens around me. Gripping her hips, I pull her to straddle me in the middle of my bed. Mattress clear aside from the two of us, sheets and pillows strewn, I thrust up, impaling her, and she cries out my name.
Dom.
When she attempts to move, I still her, commanding her eyes by gripping her jaw, demanding the acknowledgement that I'm the one giving her this pleasure, that this connection is with me. She gently rocks against me as she stares back at me. You're so fucking beautiful. I whisper as her eyes search mine in an attempt to find deeper meaning in my words, meaning that's there, that she knows I feel but refuse to put a voice to. When she again tries to move, I keep an iron grip on her. I won't be the man who makes promises I can't keep, but I'll be damned if I don't make it clear that in this room, this bed, it's all us and what we create when we're together. We both know it, and have known it since this started. It runs so much fucking deeper than physical. For me, it's a place of bliss. Peace. A place I both liberate and find more of myself that I know is only for her. Holding her in muted intimacy is the only way I can effectively relay to her without words that I feel it too. I'm not going to let her miss a second of the truth, even if it remains unspoken.
Let me move.
She pleads, pressing kisses along my jaw. My cock pulses as she attempts to gain the friction we both want, her need throbbing around me as my body thrums with hers. Heart pounding, I hold out as long as I can, for as long as possible, because it's with her that I feel the most alive.
I'm so close to coming, just from seeing her staring back at me, explosions detonating in my chest as everything I feel attempts to break free.
I need you,
she murmurs, raking her nails down my sweat-slicked back. We've been fucking for hours. I felt nothing but frantic during that time, the compulsion to keep her with me becoming more finite with each release, the panic due to the notion that if I allow her a single inch of space, she'll discover the reason for my urgency, and I won't ever get this feeling back.
Tom,
she whispers as she reads my fear and my refusal to release her.
You can tell me anything.
Fisting her hair and pulling her neck back with my grip, I whisper the truth at the base of her throat. I am. And I am. Telling her what I can, showing her how being with her revives me and that every day we're together, she brings me back from the brink, collecting pieces of humanity and empathy I felt I lost. That she alone is the pinprick of light that brings me back when I get lost in the dark. That she's the only being alive that has ever been able to make me feel so much at once. That we're told to love our enemy. And I'm faithfully obeying. Fear and lust war as I claim possession of her physically, but even as I take her body, she continues to steal and own pieces of me I ignored I possessed. Before her, before this bliss, hell-bent on making us both suffer for perfection I have no right to have with her, I take her mouth, and with just a kiss and one deep thrust, we both come. Collapsing at the head of the mattress, we lay in a sweaty heap, face to face, stroking the other's skin, eyes locked. Even with my barrier of silence, we feel solidified, like a drop of black ink tainting the surrounding water, creating our own cloud. But it's within it where we're most comfortable, where we can maintain this perpetual state until we inevitably end by way of me, my brother, or however this plays out, because I can't protect her from either of us. I can only prepare her. But looking at her now, I can't remember why I'm not allowed to love her. I can't think of a single fucking reason why I shouldn't have her or silence the words. She's not her father. I'm not my brother. All these things make sense here, under the cover of the storm roaring outside, a cover we created that keeps us safe and hidden away. It's just us. And it's here I can be myself with her, and I don't want to hide it anymore or from anyone, which is not only detrimentally fucking foolish, but impossible. Which brings me back to the only conclusion I can draw. This is love, and I'm dangerously consumed by it. Not a question I have to ask myself, as the truth of that is beating steadily in my chest. Staring into her eyes as we share breath, I'm filled with the conviction that I'm looking back at my twin flame, attracted to her in a way I can't escape. Even when I'm inside her, the need increases tenfold, especially then I can't get close enough. I can't keep my hands off her or my thoughts from straying toward her constantly when we aren't together. It makes sense to me now why twin flames are a love addict's choice, and since we've been together, she's drawn an addiction I didn't know I had out of me. But we're the caustic kind of identical flames, and there's nothing that can change that. It's already written. So, while there might be freedom in the fall, there's consequence too. Delphine's words echo in my head as that truth sets in.
She'll be the end of you.
What I didn't tell her was that I already knew it. By fire or water. Either way, so fucking be it. Until then, I'll wait for the change in air pressure, the gathering of the clouds, the streak of lightning in the sky, the rumble of thunder, and rain. So, this is the honeymoon phase. Struck down with the four-letter curse or not, I'm still a motherfucker and embracing it. I'm feeling cursed by the day and taking full advantage of the weather. It's stormed every single day this week, and my cock has been singing in it.